All right, you know we've been talking about the sevens in the book of Revelation. Seven means it's a number that signifies completion. And the book of Revelation is full of sevens, as we've been finding. And when we get to the seventh one of anything we're talking about, it means that the process is complete. And today we're going to carry forth this theme in part number six, which is called the Seven Trumpets 4-1. So before we get started, would you bow your heads with me as we pray? And then we're going to look at 4-1. Father, I want to thank you for bringing us here in this beautiful church with these beautiful people that are so loving and kind. And we want to be more loving and kind, Lord. And we want to honor you more fully. So would you bless this sermon time in a special way? Use me in spite of my faults so that I can honor you, Lord. And when we leave here, we'll all be changed, more like you instead of like us. So let us hear and see Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know it's no understatement. Well, before I do, here's what we're going to accomplish today. Number one, what are the trumpets? Number two, what is the timing? Number three, what is the tie-in with Isaiah 65:24? And Revelation 6:9. And number four, what is our comfort? That's what the four things we're going to do here as we look at the seven trumpets of the book of Revelation. I want you to know that the seven trumpets are the most debated section of the book of Revelation. It is incredibly difficult to understand. And so I embark upon it with fear and trepidation, but confidence. Because I believe that I have something to share with you that is pertinent in spite of the fact that many authorities don't necessarily agree. But there's some issues that we can be sure of as we follow this. So let's take a look at the seven trumpets as found in Revelation, the 8th chapter. Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation, the 8th chapter. Children, turn in to your Bibles to Revelation, the 8th chapter. We're going to read about the first four trumpets found in Revelation 8. But before we do, there's something very... Well, no, I'm just going to do it. Let's read it. Revelation 8. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Okay, and children, while I do this, I'm going to read these 13 verses. Children, while I read these 13 verses, I want you at the end to tell me how many times the word third is found in chapter 8. The word third, T-H-I-R-D. Mothers, help your children with that. How many times is the word third used in chapter 8 of the book of Revelation? That's for the children. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer with it the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayer of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer filled with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there was noises, thunders, lightnings, and earthquakes. So the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. First trumpet. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second trumpet, 8. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died. and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third trumpet, 10. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the water became wormwood, and many men died with the water, because it was made bitter. The fourth trumpet, 12. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard another angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Now that I have read the chapter, I presume that you all know exactly what those four trumpets are all about, correct? Correct? You are out there, right? All right, well, I want to show you something. How many times, children, did I say a third? How many times, children? 13. Who said 14? Michael, you did? I believe it's 14, right? Did the adults count? I always mark my Bible. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh, there's 12. Okay, so you said 14, you're wrong. Well, this is very significant, folks, because I want you to know some people try to argue that the trumpets are the same as the plagues. They are not. Throughout the plagues here, or trumpets, you see clearly that only a third is affected. When we get over to the plagues, everything is affected. That's the first thing I want to point out. And I want to show you why a third is so significant. Did you know that the Roman Empire, by Constantine, was divided into three different divisions? There was the Eastern Roman Empire, which all of us are familiar with. Then there's a middle section that I always have a hard time pronouncing. Illyricum. Illyricum's the middle section, that's purple. And then the yellow is the Eastern Empire. I already said Eastern, didn't I? The Western Empire is Rome in Italy. The middle section is Illyricum. And the far Eastern section, the Byzantine Empire, is in yellow. So Constantine divided it into three different things. So when you get the third here, do not be so confused. Why? Because it simply means that one of those three is being attacked. Four, we see a series of barbarian tribes have come down and completely annihilated the Roman Empire. So, there's a map showing you, divided into three. That helps explain why a third is being mentioned. So let's take a look at the very first trumpet. And this is Alaric of the Visigoths, who happened to be a pagan general of the Roman army. And he didn't like the fact that the emperor didn't recognize the help of him in his army. And so he revolted against the emperor and he invaded Illyricum and actually took it over. And the emperor then turned and made him the general of Illyricum. But that wasn't good enough for Alaric. Three times he invaded Rome. On the third time, on the 24th of August, 410, he sacked Rome for the very first time. So the trumpet number one is very simple. By the way, I need to say this really quick. I don't want to get too technical because I'll cover this in the fall when I do my Revelation seminar. That affords more time. My respected seminary professor, Maxwell, before he passed on, wrote two books. God Cares One, God Cares Two. Some of you have them in your library. And for some reason, he changed the typical Adventist understanding of the first trumpet. And he said it was God's judgment upon Israel in 70 AD. Now, I have great respect for Dr. Maxwell, but I do not agree. Why? Because when John wrote his book, it was 25 years after the fall of Jerusalem. Okay? And when Alaric did the work he did, this was after the pagan Roman Empire had supposedly changed to the Christian Roman Empire. You remember Constantine? Yeah, he came in and marched his army through a river and said, "You're all baptized now." So this is very significant. So I stick to the old line Seventh-day Adventist interpretation that the first four of chapter 8 are dealing with the Western Empire of Rome and its demise through a series of attacks by four different individuals that brought it to its knees. Number one was Alaric. Number two is Genesaric. Genesaric was a Vandal. Notice they all come from the north. By the way, I thought this was interesting. In trumpet number one, it says, "And hail and fire followed." The first trumpet sounded and hail and fire followed. And Alaric came from the north where it was cold. But what he brought was fire, which is war in the Bible. And now we get to the second trumpet, and it says the second trumpet sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And this is great. Why? Because Genesaric actually marched through and attacked some of the areas of Rome, but then went through the Straits of Gibraltar and actually set up a kingdom in North Africa. And from North Africa, Genesaric actually established a powerful fleet that continually harassed all of the Mediterranean Roman Empire. And on two different occasions, he met the Roman fleet and defeated them. And then on another occasion, the Byzantine fleet came against him and he defeated them also. And so notice when it says here, then the second angel sounded and something like a great mountain, that's a kingdom, came with fire, that's the hot sands of North Africa. And all the devastation in the sea was because this was a sea battle. This was the expertise of Genesaric. And so Genesaric ruled, by the way, for 50 years until finally Belisarius, which was Justinian's general, actually defeated the Vandals who were set up there in North Africa and eradicated them. But that wasn't until 533. But notice, if you would, that from Carthage, he continued to terrorize the whole Mediterranean. And one day in 555, he sailed right up the Po River, is it? Right into Rome, and he sacked it. So the Vandals sacked Rome for the second time in 455 AD. Okay, number three. Here we have the Huns. Everybody knows Attila the Hun. It says here in the third one that the third angel sounded and a great star fell from heaven burning like a torch. And a third of the rivers and the springs were affected. And his name was Wormwood. So we see the third one. Our traditional understanding is Attila the Hun. Now notice, he again overran Illyricum. But he tried to get into Rome, but never did. Attila the Hun never ever succeeded in sacking Rome, but he did take over Illicum before he finally just up and left and went back to the far east where he had come from. And then the fourth one in chapter 8 is the invasion of the Heruli. And this is by Odieser. Odieser was also a pagan soldier in the Roman army that rebelled against the king, against the emperor. And he actually, listen to this, he actually went in to Rome and deposed the emperor, and he became the king, the first pagan king of Italy. That was from 476 to 493 before he was deposed. And by then, the Western Roman Empire was in shambles, and the first four trumpets sounded and brought to demise the Western Roman Empire. Okay, I'm moving right through these. Oh, by the way, I thought you'd enjoy a map of what he finally accomplished after he took over, deposed the emperor and took over as king. And he actually succeeded in covering all that area before he himself was defeated. I'm getting to something, folks. Okay? Then we come to 2. We did the 4 now. In chapter 8 is 4. We get to chapter 9, there's 2. And so let's take a look at the 5th and the 6th plate of chapter number 9. Then the 5th angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to earth. To him was given the keys to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit and rose out of the pit like smoke of a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them were given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass or the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those who did not have the seal of God on their forehead. And they were given authority to kill them, they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for about 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when its sting strikes a man. In those days, men were seeking death and will not find it. They will desire to die a death and will flee from it. Oh. Anyway, that's a depiction there. I'm not going to read anymore. I'm getting tired. Folks, the 5th trumpet is the rise of Islam. And I want to show you some of the elements here which are really interesting. First of all, notice, they harassed Christianity, both East and West, starting in 600 AD, shortly after Muhammad himself died. Okay? Number 2, it says tortured 5 months. That's 150 years of prophetic years. Their first attempt against Constantinople was, and that's the Eastern Roman headquarters in Constantinople, was 674 AD. And their last attempt was on 823 AD, which was 140 years later, in which they failed every time and they just quit. In fact, listen to this. I thought this was really neat. Do you know, it says, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth and the green things or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God. And they were not given authority to kill them. Now, let me explain something to you. Muhammad wrote to respect Christians and Jews who are respectful to you. And if you conquer them, do not kill them. But if they convert someone, you kill the people who were converted, and you kill them for converting. But if they choose to live amongst you, don't mess with them. Isn't that interesting? Because we're going to get to the Turks in a second, and the Turks weren't like that at all. But you see, the language here is very graphic. It says here, but only those men who have not had the seal of God on their forehead. The idea, if you come across a Christian that's abiding and they're minding their own business, do not kill them. But if they start converting, you kill those they convert, and you kill them for converting. So live and let live. So the fifth trumpet to me is simple. It's the rise of Islam. And 150 years later, 823, they sort of went back to the desert sands and no longer tried any longer to conquer Constantinople. But the sixth trumpet, then the sixth sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Oh, this is beautiful, folks. Saying to the sixth angel who is triumph, release the four angels that are bound from the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who have been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, the year, were released to kill a third of mankind. Now notice, the fifth seal, don't kill them. The sixth seal, kill them. So the four angels were released. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. Whoa, that's a huge army. And thus I saw the horses and the vision and those who sat on them. I don't want to read anymore. I'm tired. The Seljuk Turks showed up in 1000 AD. They were told to kill a third. Their intended target was Constantinople, the Eastern Empire, the Byzantine Empire. And it says here that they had smoke and fire and sulfur. This is the first time that gunpowder was used. They came with cannons and even with weapons, very crude, but they used gunpowder. And that's how they managed, by the way, to conquer the city in 1453 A.D. Now, the Ottoman Empire, which were the Turks that came, of course, everybody came from the east, man, and they attacked the Eastern Empire. I find this fascinating. Folks, look at these dates now. 1453. This is right around the time of the Reformation. And because of the Turks' presence in the Eastern Empire, Charles V could not wipe out the Protestants, especially in Germany. Yeah, thank you. Somebody said amen. God actually used them as a diversion. So he kept Charles V at bay. When Charles V finally got around to attacking Germany, and he succeeded, by now the Protestant beliefs were so embedded that it didn't make a dent. And check this out. You're going to laugh at this. That meant now the people came to church and they heard the service in their own language. They sang hymns from a hymnal. They had Bibles in their pews in their own language. That's why they were attacked, by the way. They didn't want them to have Bibles. They didn't want them to have this independent. They didn't want the liturgy to be understandable. They wanted to keep it a ministry. They wanted to keep it a mystery so they could control the conscience of the people. Charles V did finally attack, but even though he succeeded in fighting against the princes of Germany, the roots of Protestantism were so deeply set that it didn't affect at all the Reformation, and it continued to grow and expand. And by the way, the Ottoman Empire power was broken in July 15th, 1840. Okay. So, what are the trumpets? The trumpets were judgments by God, folks, brought upon His church for being in apostasy. Brought upon His church for the way they were treating His real people. In fact, in the time of the Ottoman Empire, just before they showed up in the 1000 AD, and just after they disappeared, millions of Christians who followed the Bible were murdered. Men, women, and children for following the Bible. And so, while this was going on, folks, and you're going to get to the contact point in a second. While this was going on, God was pouring out judgments to keep their power from being completely expressed so they would totally destroy all of God's people. In fact, let me continue, and I'm going to pick this thought up in a second. I'm almost done. But let's look at the timing here. Everyone in chapter 8, I want you to see this. When we just started to look at the first four in chapter 8, the first images we were shown was another angel given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hands. And then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar. Okay, now hold that thought. And we just read over here. Wait, I lost my place. 9. Where did I just read? I just read it. Now I lost it. Where did I just read in the fifth? Well, wait. I mean, in the fifth or the sixth? Oh, yeah. Verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Okay. The beginning of the trumpets is mentioned, the golden altar. At the beginning of the sixth trumpet is mentioned the golden altar. That means that these trumpets took place during the first apartment ministry of Jesus. Do you understand? You got to listen to this. Okay? That if an angel is standing at the altar and bringing the incense, that means that Jesus, that's who the angel is in the holy place. But when we get to the seventh seal, He is now in the most holy place. So I will make a firm charge to you that you cannot put trumpet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 into the future. Because if you do, you are ignoring the setting that we were given at the beginning of chapter 8 before the first trumpet, and at the end of chapter 9 after the sixth trumpet. Both the settings were in the holy place. So you cannot take these trumpets and now tell me that we've changed our understanding and they're in the future. Because the ministry of Jesus was taking place before 1844 in the holy place. When the seventh trumpet is poured out, that's when judgment began and He moved to the most holy place. So friends, I want to protect you against those, some very well-meaning Adventist preachers who are trying to put the trumpets in the future. Let's read the seventh trumpet. Notice 4 and 8, 2 and 9, and 1 in chapter 11. We're skipping chapter 10 completely. There's a reason for that. Now let's go to chapter 11 and read the seventh trumpet, and you will see how this takes place in the most holy place. Then the seventh trumpet. You've got verse 15 of chapter number 11. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our God and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their throne fell on their faces and worshipped Him, saying," da-da-da-da-da-da. They said, "We give You thanks, O Lord God Almighty, You who is, who was, and who is to come, because You have taken Your great power and reign. The nations are angry, and Your wrath has come. And the time of the what? Dead, that they should be judged. And that You should reward Your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear Your name, small and great, and shall destroy those who destroy the earth." Here it is. "Then the temple of God was open in heaven, and the ark of His covenant was seen in His temple, and there were lightning, noises, thunder, an earthquake, and great hail." There it is. The seventh plague takes place after probation. After 1844, when Jesus moves from the holy place into the most holy place. That means that trumpets 1 through 6 are in the past, but trumpet 7 is in the future and is actually taking place right now. So why do I do this, folks? I'm getting to the punchline here. I do this because I don't want you to be deceived by good-meaning people who are starting to come up with newer ideas to just try to fit the latest newscast. And the Bible puts pegs down that if you're a student, you realize you can't put them in the future because Jesus is standing at the altar in the holy place. And God did that for a purpose. In fact, let me show you the purpose for all of you who are in here who are having a tough time. All of you who are struggling with life, relationships, whatever it may be. All of you that feel worn down and overburdened. Let's take a look what the tie-in here is with Isaiah 65:24. You tell me, what does Isaiah 65:24 say? Right. "Before you call, I will answer. While you're still speaking, I will hear." Amen. That's what Isaiah 65:24 says. Well, wait a minute. Okay, that's really nice, Pastor. But let's say it got to do with Revelation. I mean, we got to tie this in with Revelation 6:9. Okay, so let's take a look at Revelation 6:9. And now we come to the comfort part. I love this. It brings tears to my eyes. Are you ready? Verse 9. "Then he opened," Jesus opened, "the fifth seal. And John saw under the altar the souls, the millions that had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice saying, 'How long, Lord, holy and true, until You judge and avenge the blood of those who have dwelled on the earth?' How long, Lord? When are You going to do something?" And it dawned on me. We've already had the first seal, the second seal, the third seal, the fourth seal. By the time we get to the fifth seal, it's way down in the stream of time of history, and it turns out that God was already pouring out judgments to try to protect His people and divert the attention away from total success in annihilating His believers. Before you call, I will answer you. While you're yet speaking, I am listening. I hear you. And he was pouring out these judgments to divert the attention away from the church that was trying to kill his sincere, honest-hearted people. Do you feel like you're under attack? If you are, I want you to really study the connection we're making here. That God for sure is hearing you even before you call. He is listening to you, and He is already working things out. In fact, I can't help but mention this. It's amazing to me how God used, of all people, the Ottoman Empire, and they were ruthless folks. You know, when they say they had an army of 200 million, and they killed a third, I mean, they just pillaged and plundered and raped and... And God used these barbarians to take the heat off His people even while they were crying out, Lord, when are you going to do something? And so I want you to be comforted. I want you to know that before you call, I will answer you. And while you're yet speaking, I'm listening. My friends, Revelation 8, 3 through 8, starts out with Jesus at the altar of incense. Why? Because the fifth seal said, how long, Lord, until you do something? And he starts at the altar of incense before he gives the first four trumpets. Because he wanted his people to know that he's standing there with their prayers, bringing them into the presence of God. Every time you pray, this is what's happening. I want you to rivet this picture in your mind. I want you to know that when you pray to God, no matter how desperate or destitute you may feel, no matter how many people, the billions on this earth, God is listening to you. Jesus is listening to you as if no one else was praying. And He's bringing that prayer to the Father in heaven. And His own perfect, infinite way, He is working out your situation to the satisfaction of everybody involved. So please be encouraged. Please draw comfort and please see that these symbols that can be so confusing and takes a long time to go through have real comfort in them when you look at them carefully and prayerfully, that God is working in and through everything. Father, I want you to bless everybody here with the understanding that you really are still in control. That no matter what they're dealing with or how desperate and hopeless they may feel, that you are right by their side and there soon will be real live deliverance. Please let these scenes burst upon our minds and our hearts, rivet them like on stone, so that we can be faithful to you, especially when you bring us to somebody else who's devastated and doesn't know the things that we are learning here today. So bless each one now, and thank you, Lord, you care, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, Why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.